بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كنا أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عنده فأقبلت فاطمة رضي الله عنها تمشي ما تخطئ مشيتها من مشية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا، فلما رآها رحب بها وقال مرحبا بابنتي، ثم أجلسها عن يمينه وقال عن شماله، ثم سارها فبكت بكاء شديدا، فلما رأى جزعها سارها الثانية فضحكت، فقلت لها خصك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بين نسائه بالسرار ثم أنت تبكين. فلما قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سألتها ما قال لك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قالت ما كنت أفشي على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سره. Continue the riwayat, the discussion we began yesterday. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that we, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were with him. As we mentioned, this was more likely during what we call the maradul wafat, the illness or the terminal illness prior to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha goes on, she says that Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha came walking, and she makes the observation that the manner of walking of Fatima radiallahu anha was identical to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was very, very close to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even her mannerisms, etc., would mimic that of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he saw her, he welcomed her. He was very, very happy, and he said, "Welcome to my beloved daughter." As we mentioned yesterday, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Akrimu awladakum," honor your children. This is part of sunnah, to give honor towards one's children, to make the ikram, to show love and affection for them. Today, we find that there are different types of relationships that exist between parents and children. Some make the children into their friends to the level that tarbiyat doesn't take place. They are not able to make the tarbiyat or the spiritual nurturing of the children. That's one extreme. Then you'll find that extreme where some people emotionally, they distance themselves from their children. They are harsh, temperamental, they are harsh, hard in their dealing with their children. We find that neither can be found in Seerah. There was a balance. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously was Murabbi, was the one who made tarbiyah, but he made tarbiyah with love, with affection. And he elevated the maqam and status of his children. As we find in other riwayat, that when Fatima radiallahu ta'ala would come, if he was sitting, he would stand up. He would go towards her. He would kiss her on her forehead. At times he would embrace her. And as we see on this okay, and he would clearly show his happiness and his joy at seeing his children. This case, marhaban bi ibnati, welcome to my beloved daughter, bi ibnati. And then Aisha radiallahu anha says, summa ajlasaha an yameenihi wa qala an shimalihi. He made her sit on his right hand side or on his left hand side. In other words, right next to him. And then pertinent to the chapter which we are currently discussing, Babu Hifdhis Sir, the chapter which deals with the protecting or making hifazat of the secret. If someone confides in you, it's part of Sharia not to reveal their secret. So pertinent to that, this is the reason, this is the section of the hadith why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned this particular hadith in this chapter. Aisha radiallahu anha says, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispered something to Fatima. The effect of it was that she started inconsolably sobbing and crying. فَبَكَتْ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw her agony, observed the effect that what he had confided in her had had upon her, he whispered to her a second time. The second time when he whispered to her, the effect of it was that she started smiling. So Aisha radiallahu anha, obviously herself and the other Azwaj Mutahharat were very curious what had transpired. Two completely opposite reactions on the face of Fatima radiallahu anha. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this delicate time or period where he's extremely unwell and he is whispering something to Fatima. So they were insan, curiosity was piqued. So she said to her that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam singled you out amongst his wives with a secret. It caused you to cry. So she says that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Fatima was on her own, I said to her, what is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confided in you? What did he tell you? Unlike many of us nowadays, particularly, like I said previously, this was the habit of masturat. Nowadays even men behave like this, that when somebody comes and whispers something to you, somebody tells you a secret, we can't wait to divulge the secret. And that too, we don't just divulge it, we'll tell the next person, I'm going to tell you a secret. And like that, the same so-called secret gets told to 10, 15, 20 people, so it no longer remains a secret. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, immediately, when Aisha radiallahu anha asked her that what was it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispered to you, she said, ma kuntu afshi ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, I cannot divulge a secret that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confided in me. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha goes on, she says, فَلَمَّا تُوفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قُلْتُ عَزَمْتُ عَلَيْكِ بِمَا لِي عَلَيْكِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ لَمَا حَدَّثْتِنِي مَا قَالَ لَكِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَتْ أَمَّا الْآنَ فَنَعَمْ. She says, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this entire episode had such an effect upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. We find that amongst the galaxy of Sahaba, the most prolific narrator of hadith was Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, narrated, ulama say, 5,374 ahadith. After Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second most prolific narrator of hadith was Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was the second highest number of ahadith. More than 2,200 ahadith are narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The debt that she served the ummah with, the service that she gave for the ummah, particularly in this field where she opened up before us the domestic life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her observations, her questions that she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reporting of the various sayings of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very, very large body and section of Shariat is derived from the ahadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this is one debt that our mother served to the ummah, that till Qiyamah we will never be able to repay her that. So we find that this repeating of that question was why? So that the ummah can benefit, the ummah can learn something. We find when Allah Ta'ala speaks about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Nisa an Nabi, lastunnaka ahadim minan Nisa. Allah Ta'ala says, O the wives of the Prophet, Ya Nisa an Nabi, O the wives of the Prophet, there are no women like you. In other words, their maqam, their status, their piety. These were those women from amongst the galaxy of humanity that were selected and chosen by Allah to be the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that nikah also was not an ordinary nikah. Once they entered into the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they remained his wives even after Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. They were not allowed to marry anyone else. As we mentioned previously, one of the reasons for this, that ulama say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is alive in his grave. So, in that sense, no one will be allowed to marry the wives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after he has passed away from this world. And we find that one of the direct commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to the Azwaj Mutahrat, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah commands them that وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Bring alive, mention, teach the ummah that of the Quran and that of the sayings, hikmah, the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that transpires or occurs within your homes. So this was an amanat that had been placed on the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly for the masturat of the ummah, to bring alive to us, show us what was the domestic life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we know, Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madina Munawwara at one time had 9 wives. This issue, many enemies of Islam, they raised this issue that how is it possible and what is this, etc. We find one of the first of all, we have to understand that when it comes to even the speech of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "Wan najmi idha hawa ma dhalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa wa ma yantiqu 'anil hawa in huwa illa wahyu yuha." By the oath of the stars, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak of his own desires. Whatever he says to you is wahi and revelation from Allah. So if his speech also was not of his own desires, then obviously his nikahs were not of his own desires. This, every nikah that Nabi Muhammad ﷺ made was on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see multitudes of benefits in the nikahs, because through this he practically set in stone for the ummah, gave us an example. Because if you look at the type of nikahs that he made, whether it's marriage to a virgin, that example is there. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, married to a widow. Several of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were widows. Some of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were mutallaqa. In other words, they were previously divorced, they were divorcees. Some of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were from amongst his family. Some were from the Quraysh, some were from outside the Quraysh. Some were even, one of them was even non-Arab, a Jew, Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So practically, some were young, some were elderly. So all these, through his example, through his own practical example and sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically showed the ummah different types of nikah. What do you do in that circumstance? What do you do in that instance? In other words, no excuse remains for anybody right up to the qiyamah. For example, if I get married to someone who is young, if I get married to someone who is old, if I get married to someone who is within my family, someone who is out of my family, someone who has been married before, someone who is a widow, someone who hasn't been married before, there is an example in every type of instance. Married to someone who comes from a wealthy background, someone who comes from a poor background, someone who comes from a middle class background, the ummah was shown practically every type of instance by the Mubarak practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we'll continue.